Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. May 18th at the Handlebar, the One Scene Unites. From Within Records, Spring 2024 Showcase, Magnitude, Malice at the Palace, Seat of Pain, Envision, Worn, Collateral, Dimension 6, Statement of Pride, Burning Strong, and Milestone. If you haven't had a chance to grab your ticket yet, please do so before it's too late. Also, 10 Years of Soul Erosion, June 3rd, 2024. Please look forward to that. I can't believe it's already been 10 years. Feeling pretty old, but shout out Blistered. Awesome band. If you're not familiar, do yourself a favor and go listen to that band. Awesome Florida band. Shout out Lennon. Also, if you're not following From Within Records on social media, please go boot up your Instagram, your Twitter, click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band or for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing, or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. You can thank me later. On today's episode, we had to track down our good friends in a band called Otis VCR, right? Really interesting name. And I'm very happy to finally know the meaning behind it. And this is a band who I'm very stoked on. Just a bunch of younger kids who love hardcore. That always gets me very excited. I love seeing the passion in the next generation. So if you're not familiar with Otis VCR, please hit pause. Go boot up Spotify, Bandcamp, Apple Music, Tidal, YouTube, whatever. Go listen to Otis VCR, super awesome band coming out of Oklahoma. I'm so stoked on them. And then you can come back here and listen to the band and I chop it up about all things Otis VCR. They have a really awesome story. I love that they're longtime friends. I just love that they spend a lot of the time talking about other bands from their area, you know, putting on for other bands in their scene, which I can totally respect. But it was such a pleasure for me to finally be able to sit down with Otis VCR and just hear their story. It was fun. I'm stoked on that band, and I hope all of you are too. So please strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome Otis VCR to the show. And we're recording. I guess we're here with all of Otis VCR. Could you guys go down the line and introduce yourselves to everybody?
Yeah, I'm Will Vickers. I play guitar.
I'm John, and I do throat. And I'm Preston. I play drums.
I'm Ben. I play bass.
I'm Ben. I'm Brad. I do beats.
That's awesome. Okay. Quick story on how we got here. Obviously, we talked this briefly before we started recording, but obviously, this whole thing started with Out for Blood because of their split that they did with Free for All. And, you know, more recently, I had on Jordan and Ty from Free for All on the podcast. And I mentioned to them that I'm not like super tapped in with Oklahoma. So I asked for a recommendation on who I should have on from the area, and you guys were at the top of their list. You know, they had nothing but positive things to say about you guys, which is awesome. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, for me, I always try to stay as you know, tapped in as possible, but obviously it's a lot easier when I reach out to the locals and just try to, you know, figure out what's going on in their area that I might not be aware of. So I'm happy that they had mentioned you guys, because after the podcast with them, I went and checked out your guys' music and definitely was a fan. I was like, okay, this is cool. I definitely want to have them on the podcast. So when I reached out to you guys, I was definitely stoked that you guys were down to do this today. So I just want to say thank you for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time out of your day too, man. This means a lot. This is really cool. Never done anything like this.
Okay. First thing I want to know, because I had asked Jordan and Ty, I'm like, what does that name mean? And they didn't want to tell me. They just told me like, hey, just wait till you have them on the podcast and then you can ask them. So if you can please finally help me solve this mystery and explain to me.
I don't want to tell you either, which is the thing.
Oh, really?
Yet. No, I'm a big fan of Otis Redding.
Okay.
And when I was growing up, my favorite Tyler the Creator song was VCR. And then I liked like ASAP Mob and shit. And they had the like Always Strive and Prosper. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool to make it an acronym. And it was on television, I see violence, cars, and racism, or over time, I've seen violence, cars, and racism. And I was like, man, I thought that was kind of cool. But Ty and Jordan were like, nah, bro, VCR is very cool riffs. Over time, I've seen very cool riffs. So.
Or it could be a, oh, this is shit, very crappy riffs.
Yeah. No, it doesn't really mean anything now, honestly. But, like, honestly, I think the very cool riffs is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's just the band name, really.
I've always just wanted to call it Otis originally, but... then I was like, I think that's cool at the end of it, VCR. I don't know. I think it's funny. It's goofy.
Yeah, it definitely sticks out, because when I, read the name or see it on flyers, I'm like, okay, I feel like that's kind of smart too, to kind of have something that's, different from like your typical hardcore band name. And even when like I've told like some of my local friends about like, you know, having you guys on the podcast, that's like their first like question is like, what the hell does that mean? And obviously, at the time, I couldn't tell them what it meant, but I'm happy that you guys were able to explain it. But it's cool, you know. I definitely like hearing the origin from it from you guys, because I never really got into like Tyler the Creator, but I did like ASAP Mob, and to be fair, I never really listened to Otis Redding, so maybe I should tap in because of you guys.
Otis Redding is the shit, bro. He fucking rules, man.
Dock on the, what is it?
Sitting on the dock of the bay. Yeah, dude. That's one of like the best songs ever.
That's a banger.
Okay.
He rules.
Okay, so now that we got the name out of the way, I just want to go back to the beginning. How did you guys all meet, and like, where was the idea to start this band? Because honestly, I was under the impression that you guys were all from like the same area, but finding out now that you guys are, you know, in two separate places.
We actually are from the same area. We all are from OKC. But they're going to school. Ben and Brad are going to school in Houston right now. So, like, they're just doing class right now. But they're TSU. What?
I was seeing the TSU chant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're going to school, but they're here when they're not down there.
I met them. So I played in bands growing up and stuff, and none of them were ever hardcore necessarily. And I was running around my school looking for people and to start playing with. And they showed up to my house after school and we jammed. I had like two songs written. The rest of the shit that we played was just like covers and stuff. I think we were like 15 or 16 at the time. And then we met they knew Preston. We had a drummer beforehand, and then things didn't really pan out too well with him. So we kind of just moved on, and then we reconnected with Preston again. And I mean, like, one of the best drummers ever. It's just cool, you know, getting to reconnect with your homies.
I remember being I was a senior in high school, and I was just walking down the hallway, and I knew John through friends, and bro was just running down the hallway, just like grabbing people, be like, you play guitar? And then he found me. He knew I played guitar, and he was like, "Will, you want to like play in a band?" And I was like, "Sure, man." He was like, "I'll text you." And this dude sends me a song. He's like, "Learn this by tonight," or not by tonight. He just said, "Learn this and send me a video or whatever." And the song was fucking...
Was it Grass by The Garden?
No, bro. It was Tourette's by Nirvana.
Oh, yeah.
The easiest fucking song, bro. It was like two riffs the whole time. I learned it like... It took me way too long to learn those two riffs. But it took me like 45 minutes, and I sent him a video. And he was like, "All right, come by my crib. We'll play." And I was... At the time, I was already playing with... Ben had a band. Dr. Deuce, one and only. And this dude was like, well, he had me come play guitar with him. So I was just playing rhythm for that band, but I ended up playing with John too. And then we were without a bassist. And I was like, man, Ben could play bass. And so I went and asked this dude, and I was like, "Dude, you want to play bass for this other band?" He was like, "Sure." This dude was in three bands playing this like high school show that we had. But anyways, so yeah, and Preston was drumming for that band. And so like when things didn't work out with their other drummer, COVID happened. Like we played that show that we were working towards, you know, COVID happened that week. So, I mean, venues all closed, you know, like shit kind of fell off for a little bit, but then like a year or two ago, I think it was you, Ben, who texted me. You were like, "Dude, let's do Otis again," or "Dude, you wanted to do us to do instrumentals for rap shit."
Yeah.
We were gonna do that, and then we ended up just being like, "Dude, fuck it, let's do our old shit." So we stuck with that. And just started riding from there. But yeah, we had been without a drummer for a minute, and then this shit was so funny, man. I knew we were talking about this earlier. When we were like getting back together, whatever, we were gonna do a couple rehearsals or whatever. I saw they added a kid named Preston to our group chat as he's gonna be our drummer, and I was like, I wonder if it's Preston who I played with back in senior year. And dude, this kid was, he was a freshman at the time. This dude was a little pipsqueak motherfucker, bro. And I remember I rolled up and they were in the garage, the door was open. I saw some big dude in there and I was like, "Ah, it's not that Preston, dude." I walked in, I looked him in the eye. I was like, holy shit. Like this dude sprouted up in 2 years.
It was crazy. He was like 5'2" when we met him, and then we come back and we're like, "What the fuck, bro? Why are you 6'2", fucking freak? What are they feeding you?"
"5'9".
"Shut up, bro. You're not 5'9", dude. "You're 6'3", dude. Shut up."
Yeah, but no, he so from then on, that was the group at the time. It was just me, John, Ben, and Preston. And then at some point, we're just like, "Fuck it, dude.
Brad.
Keys."
Oh.
And we had Brad come along. And then that's when we started cooking, man.
That's it.
It was like, "All right, yes, we're both for
it." If I can give my recount of what happened, it's funny hearing it, how everybody remembers it slightly different. I was sitting in history class because I met Will in history class. And one day he was like, "Yo, there is just this guy running up and down the hallways." And he was screaming, "I need a guitarist. I need a guitarist." And I was like, anyone who's bold enough to just scream they need a guitarist is insane. And someone who's that bold is going to start some really cool shit, and I want to be a part of it. I at the time, I had known Will played guitar, and I only had a bass sitting in my garage for like 6 months. So I couldn't play bass for shit. But I just asked Will, I was like, "Do they have a bassist yet?" And he was like, "No." And then I was like, "Well, can I play bass for it?" And he was like, "Yeah, sure." I didn't know how to play bass. And when we played our first show, I still didn't really know how to play bass. So, like, it's out there somewhere. Like, there's a demo, there's a demo from the first show, and it sounds like ass. I played a whole fret up, and I hit all the wrong notes. But we were just some dumb kids in high school, so they you're like, fuck it, you can play bass for this fucking band. So we played four punk songs. And then COVID hit. We didn't do shit for, like 2 years. And in the meantime, I had been like playing a bunch of gospel gigs and shit in Houston and becoming less asset based. So when John called me 2 years later, he was like, yo, I'm starting some rap shit up and I want you to play guitar behind it. And I was like, bro, fuck it. Let's just get the whole band back together. I miss you. I miss those weird motherfuckers from high school. And so John was like, sure, give Will a call, see if he's down. And then Will was like, he was like, yeah, I guess I can do it. We were like, fuck, we need drums because we fell out with our other drummer. And so I was like, yo, nigga from high school I talked to one time, are you down? And Preston was like, yeah, I'll play for your weird band, I guess. And then here we are. And yep. Then I was like, yo, I want to bring my brother in on it too. And Brad was like, yeah, I'll play keys, I guess.
Yeah. When, like, Ben, you asked, it was like, I was honored. Because, I mean, honestly, I remember seeing y'all in high school, and, like, because, you know, they won, like, the high, I guess it was a battle of band competition. Yeah. I won it. It's like, I saw, like, man, this is a really cool band. I hope it, like, you know, continues. So, like, when you guys came back, and it was like, we're bringing it back together. I was just kind of like, I'll help out however I can. And then doing keys for it, it's been just awesome. So, yeah, I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Hell yeah.
And
anyways, that's it. That's the story, man.
That's great. That's great. For John, for you to be so bold to be looking for a good guitar player.
Dude, we suck so bad. It's not even funny. Like if I could scrub that first show from memory, I would.
No, dude, that shit was
dope.
Hilarious.
It was so dope. It's really. I'm truly blessed to be around these dudes because they got a really good work ethic and they like, yeah, it's fun. I love this fucking music, man. It's the coolest shit in the world.
Now I'm curious, from that first iteration, was it always Otis VCR or did that take form later?
Yeah, no, it was always Otis VCR. It was just Otis VCR.
We just stuck with it. It's just us, man.
And the rap stuff, did that ever take off or did the band just take over?
No. From our first rehearsal, we never did anything rap. We were just like, let's just do our old stuff.
No way.
Yeah.
A note I want to add, though, if you listen to the end of what verse is that from? The ending of what?
Dude, I have no fucking clue.
It was from an Otis Pyle song.
No.
It was, bro.
I deleted all that shit, bro.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm being a fed right now. My bad.
We
a whole fed ass nigga right now.
Yeah, we had a little rap at the end of our song. What? But that's about as far as we got with any of that.
Okay, and pretty interesting to add keys to the band because obviously you look at the traditional hardcore bands, keys aren't so common. So I was curious, with the addition of that, I think it's awesome because way back when I used to play a synthesizer in a pop punk band, but I don't really want to talk about that. But
fuck yeah, dude.
But I think keys are awesome. So I was just curious, how that came together and how you guys are able to incorporate that into the music so well.
Big fans of that fucking record, Igor. Ben, go ahead.
So, Brad and earlier Will mentioned Dr. Deuce. Brad and I have been, he's my twin brother, so we've been playing together since we were like 6 years old.
Yep.
Okay.
And we grew up in Cali, so we just pick up as many gigs in California as we could. And I'd just play guitar, and Brad would just play keys, and we'd play in front of a backing track and just get tips from random people walking by. They're like, oh, look at those two little black kids. They play good music. It's like $50 in and we just get junk food that night or some shit. And so the name Dr. Deuce came from when we were in elementary school, we had a rap group called Dr. Deuce. It was Seuss times two and we rap Dr. Seuss shit. And so me and Brad, we'd always been just doing random music shit together and he'd always just play random shit on his keys. And he does like more videography and shit. He's always like just touched the keys a little bit. So when we restarted Otis back up, I was like, well, I like being around my brother and shit. Fuck it. Let me see if there's a way I can incorporate him so I can hang out with him more. And so we were like, one day I just randomly asked John. I was like, yo, let's do some Death Grip shit. What if you played keys and threw samples in occasionally? And John was like, yeah, sure, fuck it. It's always just, this band's always kind of been like, here's a really weird idea that shouldn't fucking work. And but we're like, yeah, we'll try it. We try some weird idea that it just happens to work.
Yeah, dude. Adding on to that, more recently, we were in the studio a little while ago and just recording some shit. And I was just thinking, I've been thinking about like our vision for how we like wanted to sound in the future. And so lately we've like given Brad this just distorted ass fucking tone, but just, it meshes. It's like what you said earlier. It's like, it's unique for a hardcore band. I was like, I was thinking about it. I'm like, dude, we have a keys player. I'm like, we can do some really cool shit with that, man. Cause like, I pretty much keep my guitar tone, you know, I just plug in, man. I plug in. I don't use a whole lot of effects or anything, but I'm like, we're doing effects, bro. That's Brad's job. That's his shit. But we were just working on our sound, and we found just this really distorted tone that just meshes with the guitar pretty well. So that was really just the vision, bro, is just making something that just sounds fucking dirty, but adds like a layer of atmosphere over it too, you know?
Because I remember when we first started to now.
Be louder, like, Brad.
It's definitely evolved. I'd say from even when we first started with like STD to our more recent stuff, I feel like we've not kind of found the exact sound of like what it should sound like over the last couple of months with the most recent release we've had. But I'd say it's like I said, it's just been an honor to like be a part of that experimental process and like help this band like kind of get that X factor and sound different.
Hell yeah, Bradley.
100%. And I'm just curious, going back to mentioning you lived in California. Which part of California did you guys live in?
Up in Corona, California.
Oh, the 951. I'm very familiar with Corona.
Mm-hmm.
There was a legendary venue in Corona back in the day called the Showcase Theater. It was on Main Street.
I haven't heard of that one. We played more. You know where Redlands is?
I do.
So when they used to have the little fair around Redlands, we used to play that all the time.
Okay, interesting. And I didn't realize you guys were twins till you mentioned it, because of the facial hair. I feel like that beard does wonders.
That's why I think Brad is beast. I love that guy.
Okay, and after COVID, you guys start back up. What was the scene like, from your guys' perspective?
So when I had gone to shows before COVID, and we used to have this venue called The Forge out here, and it was more like punky shit and stuff. And then I got real into hardcore when I found out about this venue that we have called The Sanctuary. And I called Ben, and I was like, yo, there's a show going on tonight. I didn't even know that this shit was going on anymore. Like, you're coming with me. And we ended up going and seeing like two of the most legendary fucking Oklahoma hardcore bands. We got to see our homies in Caustic. It's like some Power Trip type shit.
Okay.
And then our buddies in The Tooth, it's like some Converge type shit, man. And sadly they're actually about to have their last show ever. They're about to call it quits. But Josh, he's also in Free For All. He's the lead singer of The Tooth. Mm-hmm. And dude, like, I shit you not, bro, like that he's the fucking man, bro. Like that guy, oh my god, he is the scariest sounding front man I've ever seen. And he's like, dude, that band is just the coolest fucking band of all time, in my opinion. It's so sick. They deserve so much more recognition, and they deserve the world. They're The Tooth. Best fucking band ever, The Sanctuary. And then it really started picking up when we kind of started getting involved, when Otis started playing shows. It really started picking up. People were just starting bands left and right, left and right, left and right. It felt like every week we got a new band, and it's really cool how much it's grown, especially with like Peeling Flesh and shit out here.
I mean, man, on that note, like, for me, I hadn't been to a hardcore show. I was into, I mean, shit, man. I was into, like, I was a thrash metal kid, which has developed a large part of my style, my playing style and shit. I was just in a thrash, man. And I mean, I love hard shit, but it's like, I didn't know we had a hardcore scene. I mean, this shit's underground, you know, man. I had never had anyone invite me out to anything. And dude, I mean, our first show, dude, we weren't playing a venue or anything, man.
We played on the side of a street in the Plaza District. Yeah, and we just had our homies pull up. And literally that night that we had that show, Caustic was playing at one of our venues, and like everybody fucking left during our set. It was so funny.
No, I mean, but yeah, like I didn't know that shit was happening. We were just like,
we're just looking for a place to play.
Yeah, man. And we had no cred whatsoever. We had played one show in high school. And so we were just like, all right, well, let's set some shit up. And I don't know who set it up, man, really, but probably you two.
Yeah, we just went, we went around a bunch of different local businesses, and we were just like, yo, can we just fucking play? Like, yeah. Can we just play outside of your venue or outside of your business? Because we wanted to get it going, but like, we didn't, like, I knew the owners of the Sanctuary and stuff, but like, I don't know. I mean, like, they didn't know me like that yet. So we were like, fuck it, man. We'll go make it happen no matter what. We started doing that. Another legendary band from Oklahoma, fucking Typhoid.
Hey.
Those are our homies.
Dude, we played our first, like, big shows with them.
Yeah, those dudes rule, man. They're still our homies to this day. The fucking drummer of that band, legendary mosher, bro. He's a fucking freak, dude. All he listens to Hate Breed. And
shout out Mateo.
He's a beast, dude. But yeah, no, we just, I don't know. It's, we just, Sanctuary and Backroom on top forever. Mass Movement's Community Arts Center as well, up in Tulsa. It's, yeah, I mean, with Oklahoma, man, we got to fucking fight to get any ground and to keep any ground. Like, I mean, we just had, like, Twitching Tongues played here for the first time ever last year. And, I mean, that's huge for us. And, like, Pain of Truth, we don't ever get bands like that to ever come out here. We've gotten,
King Nine.
Oh, King Nine was fucking sick, dude. Yo. That shit was so fucking tight. And, like, we don't get bands like that. We don't get bands like Life's Question or anything like that. And so now that they see that we're going to fucking throw down for them and stuff, I hope that, like, we're going to keep building it for the sake of hardcore and just make sure that we're not a fucking flyover state anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, from, like, an outsider looking in, right, I've been paying attention over the years from that big fest that happens in your area.
Yeah,
and,
flyover.
Yeah, and for you to mention, like, you know, like, Pain of Truth, Twitching Tongues, King Nine, yeah, for those bands to, you know, travel out there and play something like that, I think it's awesome. Because even, like, the lineup, prior to that lineup, I thought was sick. So I feel like it's cool to see that every year that that they're able to, you know, kind of, like, build on to what they did the previous year. And, you know, and even to just, like, have some of my friends travel out there and play out there and always have positive things to say. So I think it's cool, and it definitely takes time. So I think, you know, like, if you guys are out there continue just doing what you guys are doing now, like, you guys will be fine. Cause, like, it's going to get to a point where it's, like, you know, going to be undeniable. Cause I just got back from LDB, and, you know, if you look at their history, it wasn't always like it is today, right? They had a fight. They had to, you know, build it up, and look at them, right? They have one of the biggest bands in hardcore from their scene. And I'm not talking about Knock Loose, right? And they weren't always just a big band. They had to fight and grind and work hard for what they have today. So I feel like, you know, you guys are, you know, doing it right so far. And I think it's just going to take time. And, you know, like I said, as long as you guys continue the same way you guys are now, like, I think you guys will be fine, and people will, you know, not look at it as another flyover spot.
It's always been the Oklahoma mentality, man. It's just been like, I mean, we for real, like, just gotta fucking just fight tooth and nail to get any form of recognition, or not any form of recognition, to get people to be like, oh man, this shit is cool. Let's keep going. And Peeling Flesh has been
really the like it's kind of crazy, man. Like a regular hardcore show have probably like maybe like 100 kids. Well, on a good night, 100 kids show up, and then like a Peeling Flesh show, it's like you're having trouble getting in the fucking door. It's like, damn, man, these kids love Slam. It's sick,
man. It's I mean, all I gotta say about that, man, is like it's for the love of the game, man.
Yeah,
you just gotta love it. You gotta love it. It makes it easy to push, man. It's not agonizing or anything. It's just fun, man. It's all about having fun, dude. And that's what keeps us going, man.
And to piggyback off, like, something crazy is how recent the scene's been evolving in Oklahoma. I remember when we formed a little after COVID hit, we started reforming and going to shows. It was crazy seeing where the landscape was. It was a lot more... the music was more chill and more experimental, but there wasn't as much like hard, just straight to the bone hardcore as there is now. Like, seeing Peeling, their progression, we were at some of the early Peeling shows. So seeing them figure out their live show and get tighter, and seeing them expand and blow up and become what they are now and get to the level that they are now, it's been insane. I especially recently, like in 2023, as they were getting a big spike, I'd open up TikTok and see people making sounds with Facebook with the shovel and like,
dude, that shit is so awesome, bro.
I'd see people like, oh my god, I'm gonna see Peeling Flesh shoot, so excited. They're like my idols, and I'm like, those are just the homies from those are my homies from Oklahoma, and seeing them become rock stars overnight, and like, same thing with Cell, bro. We were just watching
Cell play local shows,
and now Cell's on fucking tour with Kay and Ashi, dude. Like, well, even recently we did a Texas tour, and we were just looking at how beautiful it is that there were three or four bands on tour at the same time from Oklahoma, and a bunch of bands from Oklahoma are touring right now and really making this shit happen. And then
the shit that was so sick, we were hitting all different areas too, man.
Yes, like, bro,
it was so dope. It's like, I don't know, man. I think the last time that happened was it was when Sledge was on tour, and then Agony. Sledge and Agony were on tour. Those are two other fucking bands that are the best, man. I look up to those dudes really, really quite a bit. It's really cool having the structure that we have, because, I mean, we got a lot of old heads that give us a lot of really good advice and put on some really fucking good shows, man, and make sure that we keep our heads on straight and kind of teach us the old way and let us kind of run with what we know and keep just making hardcore music and having fun.
And I just curious about these street shows. how did you guys even set that up? And how did you guys even have the confidence to even keep going after that when everybody just dips out to go see Caustic?
So we fucking asked this, the place that we were supposed to perform in front of initially, it was a tattoo shop. And then we get there and we plug our shit in and there's no power.
Yeah, there's no power on the whole street. It's like our little plaza district. Like, it's the whole street is like cool, like thrift shops and shit, places to eat. It's really artsy and everything.
That's where the old Forge venue that I was talking about earlier, that's where it was. It was an old blacksmith shop.
But dude, we got to this venue and the power wasn't working. And dude, there's this thrift shop on the street. It's called Bad Grannies. And I'd driven by and I'd seen a band playing out in front of there before. So I was like, shit, man, our power's not working. Let me go over here and see if it's working. And I actually went into the shop and I found the Bad Granny herself. She was in the shop. She was working and whatnot. And so I asked who the manager was, and they're like, this is the owner. I was like, oh, okay. So I've seen people play out here before. We're struggling down the street. Our power's not working. We're supposed to play. And I know this is like zero notice, but we were wondering if we could like relocate up here. And she's like, okay. She was like, let's go see if the power's working. We go out there.
She walked us down the fucking street, ripped the breaker box open, and just flipped the fucking power on for us and said, plug in, be gone at 10. It was so sick, dude.
Because the power wasn't working in front of hers either. So she was just like, all right, well, let's figure this shit out.
It was so cool, man. She's real as fuck for that. And
She saved the show.
Yeah. And we also have a festival that we do. It's called Skate the Plaza. And they shut it down and they set up like ramps and shit. And they'll have hardcore bands come and play. And it was really fucking dope, man. There's another shop up there called Dig It. And our homies in a band called Bastion from around here. They all work there and stuff. And it was a real surreal moment because it was like I've been growing up going there. And we got to play in front of there. And, dude, on this street, it was like, I don't know. It may not sound big, but like it was like I think it was like 500 people just like chilling out, watching these fucking bands that they'd never seen, and it was like, man, this is so cool. I know the homie Steve-O, he runs Backroom Prints. I know he's got a sick ass picture of what it looked like. It was the dopest fucking night ever, and to go from we played on there just on a random day in July to like just playing there when like.
Like
there's something,
Skate the Plaza is like what, like a year later,
yeah,
something like that.
No, 2 years later.
Oh, really?
And then to be able to go and do something like that, and there actually be a fucking crowd, and it's in front of a shop that I grew up going to and stuff. It was the coolest fucking thing in the world. And that's, man, yeah, no, that's the DIY shit out here. It's so sick, man.
We just did it on a whim, bro. We were just like, we got there, shit wasn't working, we relocated. Got a spot with much more room. And man, that first show, I remember I was like, holy shit, man. I did not expect this.
Like 10 people showed up. It was sick.
We put more people than 10, bro. But still maybe like 20, 30, something like
dude,
that.
It was like 10 people.
Bro. It was not.
It was like 10 people.
I'm pulling this up. No, bro. Nah, dude. Yeah, we just did it on a whim. We had a fucking good ass time. We played that show with Typhoid in this other band called Burn the Throne, and dude, it was we had a good fucking time, bro. That was it. We didn't expect anybody to show up. I didn't. I don't know about y'all. I mean, I didn't know these other bands. I didn't know what kind of viewing they were gonna get. But we were just like, dude, fuck it, let's do a show on the fucking sidewalk.
Yep.
And the shit was awesome, man. I hadn't seen anything like it before, and yeah, it was all on the whim, man. You just set it up and went. That's how you got to do it. You just got to do something. That's how you start. And
something I want to add on to is in terms of still having the motivation to keep going after that show or when we weren't able to find a venue. I had always just been motivated, even since high school. Just when I had met everybody, we jammed. I just saw everybody's drive, even when we were younger. It was different than a lot of other people I had jammed with in the past, because I had been in a few bands. But like, even at that first show we had on the street corner, when we first plugged in and all the bands were there, and they plugged in and nothing was turning on. A lot of people in that situation would have crumbled, but Will doesn't give himself enough credit. He went to like three different shops asking people how to get the power to turn on before we finally got to that Granny, and she was able to help out. And it was like the drive and work ethic that Will had of that day. And John still had a big smile on his face, and Preston was still hanging in there. He still had a big smile on his face. Everybody was excited. Everybody was excited to play. And I there's a lot of situations I've been in where like people would have pointed fingers and be like, oh fuck, this wasn't properly planned. But no one pointed fingers. We were all just like, all right, shit's going wrong, let's fix it. And that's always been the mindset everyone's had. So like, even when some people left, like we just said fuck it, we kept playing, having a good time, and people actually came back. It was 10 people for a minute, and then in the middle of the set, like a huge wave of people came back to see what we were about, dude. We had an amazing time, bro, and it just grew since then. And so that's
We're always going to be eating shit, and we're cool with it. It's going to be sick, because, I mean, one day, hopefully one day, the people will pull up. But until then, we'll keep eating shit and having fun, man, because we fucking love playing this music. We love getting to see, man, we just love getting to see cool people meeting. The opportunities that it's given us, I mean, we got to. We're here doing this. This is the coolest shit that I've ever fucking done, man. I've never gotten asked to. No one's ever been like, John, hey, can you talk? They're like, hey, John, can you shut the fuck up?
That's what I normally like, John, please stop talking.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. I'm having a great time hearing your guys' story. So no, this is sick. But was there a point? Okay, so you play that street show, but obviously since then, you played real venues. What was it like when you were able to, you know, get off the street and actually get inside a normal venue?
I gotta pop in, bro. Shout out fucking Michaela. Shout out Michaela from the Sanctuary. She was the first person to give us a chance, bro. We were these young ass kids just playing shit on the street, and she was one of the first venues I reached out to. But we had posted a few pictures on Instagram, some of our random street shows, and she was like, "Yo, you guys are sick. I want you guys to play. You guys are gonna open for this band." I forgot. Who was the first band? Was it Caustic? I think.
Caustic headlined that show.
It was just us and Typhoid.
Was it literally just us?
It was literally just us and Typhoid.
That's crazy.
Yeah, bro. She threw us and Typhoid together at a bill at Sanctuary.
And Bugnog.
Bugnog.
Yep. Bugnog is the shit, dude. Yep. Bugnog is a crazy. It's a two piece. I think, did he plug into a bass amp and a guitar amp?
No fucking clue.
I don't know, but it was just guitar and drums, man.
It was fun, man.
Dude, was that the same show? Was that the day that we did two shows in one day?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, no. Holy fuck, dude. We played outside of a pizza place, and then 30 minutes later, it starts fucking torrential downpouring, dude. And we hauled ass to the Sanctuary and played another fucking set.
Dude, it was crazy because, like, I kid you not, like, we finished playing. And like storm clouds are rolling over, and we were like, man, we gotta get this shit packed up. And I kid you not, like 30 seconds, not kidding, like 30 seconds after we got everything in the car, rain starts coming down. It starts coming down hard too. But yeah, we just did that. We outran the storm, got down because that shit was moving south too. We got all loaded in, then we played another show at Sanctuary.
It was so fun.
It was awesome.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So ask people. And now I'm just curious about you guys recording, because I'm like basing everything off of your Spotify, because I see in 2022 there was the single. Was that the first thing you guys ever recorded?
Yeah.
And what was that like for you guys for first time doing this as Otis VCR?
It was.
We know what not to do now.
Yeah, we know what not to do now. Yeah.
It's a learning process for sure, man. But
no, it was fun, and everything's a fucking learning process. And we got to do it with one of our buddies who we grew up with, and he actually, when Ben and Brad are out of town, he fills in on bass for us.
Okay.
Shout out Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, shout out Ryan.
That's our boy. He's a really cool dude.
He recorded that through, but maybe just a bit.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did the first EP and the first single, and then after that, we went to our buddy Skyler at Riff Room Recordings. Man. And he also plays in a fucking sweet ass band called Vantar Tax, and then and Sunfo,
King Pink,
and King Pink, dude. Skyler's a fucking beast, dude. This guy,
he recorded Free For All too.
He did the fucking Free For All split. Yeah, no, he's a beast, man.
He did Prevalent 20.
He's done all three of them,
dude. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. They mentioned him on the podcast.
They got a good sound, and we were like, man, like that sound. That's
that
what
record,
we wanted, man.
That record is so fucking sick, dude. Dude, all
from start to finish, that shit is gas, man.
Everything that he's done is like, dude. The culmination of all the Free For All records, it's some of the coolest shit, man. I fucking love that band, dude.
Real.
Yeah, awesome band. I'm happy to have had them on the podcast. And what's crazy is I had just missed them because we were basically in Vegas at the same time. Like, I was in Vegas for a concert on Saturday, but I was flying home like early Sunday, and they were playing Vegas like Sunday night. And there was just like,
who are you seeing?
It was just K-pop group called Twice. Like, this girl right here is in the group.
So. No, dude, my cousin, she moved to Korea, and like, she's always sending me K-pop shit, and Blackpink is the shit, dude.
Yeah,
fucking rule.
I love Blackpink. Blackpink got my YouTube channel deleted last year during Coachella, but I eventually got it back because it was a misunderstanding.
No, what happened? You got to fill me in on this.
Okay, so last year went okay. Now I'm let me tell you from the very beginning, long story. So be prepared. So 2019, me and my buddy Nate, shout out Nate. I say buddy, he's like my best friend. We were backstage at Coachella, and we're just minding our business, just kind of, you know, just wasting time. And we're walking, and coming towards us is like this group of like, you know, really pretty girls. And we're like, oh shit, like who are those girls? Like, we need to figure out, are they like, you know, influencers or what? But, you know, come to find out it was Blackpink. They were, you know, walking towards their stage because they were about to perform. And this was before I was in the K-pop. So I was like, oh, like, that's crazy. Like whatever. But then in 2020, during the pandemic, get into K-pop and, you know, kind of figure out like, you know, Blackpink, you know, how big they really are. And then they get announced for Coachella 2023. So I hit up my buddy Nate. I'm like, yo, this is like some full circle shit. I'm like, you know, I'm like deep into K-pop. Like, we got to go back. We got to figure this out. So he's like, all right, like, let's go. So I go film a vlog, you know, we're backstage, do, you know, like filming random stuff. But I like title it, you know, Blackpink Coachella 2023. And like, you know, we're right up front. I get like really like good footage of like the concert, but I only put in like one song, right?
Yeah.
I upload the video to YouTube. I go to sleep, and then I wake up to an email from YouTube saying, like, hey, like, your channel's been deleted. You violated, our like copyright stuff, whatever. And then I was going back and forth for like 3 days. I'm like, yo, like, I didn't violate shit. Like, my channel's never had a strike. Like, this is definitely a misunderstanding, because everything in that video was filmed by me. Like, nothing is taken from anywhere else. And then, you know, they like somebody like manually reviewed it, and then they realized like, okay, like, yeah, like their like AI system was wrong. And, you know, nothing was actually stolen. This was all like original stuff filmed by me. So I got my channel back. So it was like this crazy, like, you know, 3 day thing that I like just like, it was really annoying.
What's it like seeing them live, dude?
No, it's awesome. I've seen them a couple times, because I seen them. They did a world tour in 2022. I went to that in L.A. They're awesome.
Dude, that's so sick.
I love their live band too. I'm in Houston. I do a lot of live session and R&B gigs.
Okay.
And I love when touring bands like Blackpink or BTS does it sometimes too. They'll get like a gospel inspired or R&B inspired band, and they'll throw in all the crazy stuff for the live arrangements. So that's one of my favorite things to go back to for a live arrangement inspiration is. I think what was the first year Blackpink played Coachella? What was the first year?
2019.
Yeah, that set from 2019 is insane, dude. Their drummer is so good.
Yeah, and it's definitely a fun way, you know, for the fans to experience the show, right? Because we listen to the music nonstop, yeah. But to hear it, you know, with like, you know, live instruments, and you know, then mix it up, it sounds like so awesome.
And all the stabs and reharmonizations and stuff. So good.
Yeah. And I'm curious about your cousin still in Korea, or?
I believe so. I think she just kind of, man, I haven't talked to her in a really long time. I just be seeing updates on the Instagram story and stuff. And she'll be like, she's teaching there. I don't know exactly what she's teaching, but I don't know. I think she's badass as hell for that. Cause That would scare the fuck out of me going across the world with no one, man.
Dude, I'm going to Korea in October.
No way. What are you doing?
I don't know. I got to figure it out. I'll be there for a week.
Dude, that's hell yeah. God, that's badass as fuck.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been researching this shit called World Packers, where it's like you go and you do like work for, or like you do a work exchange. They like feed you and shit and house you. And you just work and stuff, and I might have to hop on.
It sounds so cool. Dude, you should talk to your cousin, see if she's enjoying it. See, you know, I'm sure that's really great resource. Saying, yeah,
that'd be so fun, dude. I know. Okay, so we just got some art from. Oh, God damn it! I can't remember. If he sees this and I got it wrong, forgive me. But we have a guy that we just got some art from. He did some art for Bib as well. His Instagram handle's Flesh from the Acid. And dude, I know that Indonesia has like the craziest, and Japan, like, dude, that's the fucking dream, is to get to go to Asia to go and play some fucking hardcore, dude. Like, that is the number one dream, man. Because, like, I watch all the videos from, like, Blood Axe Fest in Japan and stuff, and I'm like, yo, this is the coolest shit, because I know they're going to go ape shit for us no matter what. Dude, we actually just got cruising through here, and it was the sickest shit, dude. Two ambulances got called. It was so tight.
That's crazy.
It was so fucking tight.
Well, hey, I feel like if you guys just kind of stick to it, that could be in your future. Because, yeah, I feel like when, you know, bands from the U.S. travel to places like Japan, South Korea, Indonesia, like, they're just really excited because that doesn't really happen that often. So for what bands are able to make those trips, they definitely make those shows count, you know?
We got a really cool band that just came through. They're signed on Convulse. They're called The Breath. They came through to 89. That show was fucking sick, dude. Dude, it's like, it's some power violence shit. It's so tight. They are so cool. That band is so fucking sick.
I gotta tap in.
Oh my God. Speaking of power violence, we just played with the best band in the fucking world. Sinister Feeling, dude. That record was so fucking sick, dude.
Yeah, that show was awesome. You know, I'm really bummed. That show hit LA when I was at LDB. And I'm just like super, because the singer Sean, he was on the podcast like a while back, so I was just always really hyped on that band. So for them to do a full US with Kidnapped, I thought that was sick, but I was just really bummed. I saw the dates and it just didn't like line up with my schedule, and I was just like out of town.
Dude, they were so fucking nice, and like, I think, oh man, they were, oh man. So my jiu-jitsu coach, he actually like got me kind of back into all the hardcore shit and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I remember we were at a practice one time, and he was playing some sledge, and he goes, he goes, "You seen these guys yet?" And I was like, "No." And he goes, "They're from here." And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "You're a bitch if you don't go." And so I was like, "All right, cool, I'll go." And then he was playing one of the dudes from it was the Erode and Morbid Deity split.
Okay.
And he sent that shit to me and was like, "Yo, listen to this shit." And I listened to it, and then Sinister Feeling popped up, and I was like, "Now hold up, now hold up." And then, dude, so one of the phrases we fucking live by is "closed mouths don't get fed." And so we had a date to fill on our little Texas run. We were just going to go do Corpus Christi, take an off day in Houston, go watch Sinister Feeling play, and then the next day go to San Antonio and play. And I was like, "Ben, if you don't hit up this person that's booking this fucking show and ask if we can hop on, like, what are we doing?" And
shout out Mutilated On Site. Shout out Mutilated On Site for letting me hop on that motherfucker.
The coolest shit ever, man. We just got to hop on that bitch last minute and just go and rock out, see some badass bands. Oh man, the Houston hardcore scene is so sick, dude. They got so many good bands.
I fucking love Houston, dude. That's like, well, I mean, we played a bunch of like neighboring states and shit, dude. And out of all of them, bro, I mean, all the towns we've been to so far, dude, I just fucking love Houston scene.
It's the best, man. They got some good food down there too, man.
I'm jealous of these two motherfuckers because, dude, that the vibes down there are just immaculate, man. They're always so fun.
And dude, I gotta give some shout outs to Flesh Wolf, Accosted, Lie, Cable, Ish Genius, Juicebox.
Dude. Juicebox, bro, our homie Sal, man. Dude, yeah, no, that, oh fuck. Corpse Pile, Substance, and then Pinky Promise. Those are the little homies. Yeah, I fuck with them, man.
Shout out Pity.
Mexican Coke, that. Mexican motherfucking Coke.
Is there?
That's crazy. And what's the distance between Oklahoma and Houston?
8 hours.
Fucking far. Too far.
Too far.
Too far. But that's like our second home.
Yeah.
That's like our second home, man. Like we're a Houston hardcore band as much as we are a fucking Oklahoma hardcore band.
Nope. It's worth the Greyhound bus trip. It's worth the Greyhound bus
trip. Dude, yeah, no, they take a fucking Greyhound bus and watch people like cut each other's heads off and shit. Yep. No, I'm kidding.
I know that's happened on Greyhound before, but that's
yeah.
That's crazy.
They seen some crazy shit, bro. Ben, you gotta tell them the story about the lady who was pissing, bro.
Oh, dude.
Oh my god.
Dude, it's okay, so we had the show the next day, dude, and it's fucking like 10 o'clock at night. And I was on the second bus. It's like a 5-hour fucking bus trip on the last half. And all of a sudden, I wake up to just commotion going on, dude. And so there's this chick, and she's standing there with her kid on the second row next to her, and the kid is crying and freaking out. And all of a sudden, I start seeing people leave the bus. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And she was like, the conductor was trying to calm her down, and she was, what the fuck did she say? I guess she had snuck alcohol on, or she was getting drunk. And so she was like, all of a sudden I see two police officers. Or no, that's what it was. I saw two police officers coming in, and they were like, ma'am, we need you to step off. We need you to step off. She's like, I ain't no bitch. And I ain't raised my baby to raise no bitch, because I'm a real ass motherfucker. I stand on my business. And so apparently what happened was there was a line for the bathroom at the back. There was a line, and it was in the line, there was like four black girls. And there was four black girls, and it was a white lady at the back of the bus. And there was a white lady at the back of the line, and she was standing there. She's like, oh my God, a nigga got a pee.
Oh, no.
And so all four of the black girls turn around. And they were like, you said what? And she was, the white lady realized what she said, and she was like, oh, she started freaking out. And so all of the black girls ganged around her. And instead of fighting back like a normal person, before any one of them could hit her, her first reaction was to pull her pants down and just start pissing in the middle of the aisle.
Oh, so shit.
Like a whole gallon.
That'll get him off of them.
That damn straight.
Dude. After I heard the story, I looked back and I was like, she pissed herself? And surely enough, there's just a giant yellow just streak down the middle of the fucking aisle, dude.
That's crazy. 11
o'clock at night at this point. So the police came and had to escort her off, bro. Her and her poor kid. And it smelled like piss the rest of the way.
Dude, that would suck being that child. That would suck so bad, dude. It's like, man, my mom's fucking insane, dude.
Yeah, a little embarrassing, but that's wild. Yeah, you guys are troopers for being able to, you know, put up with the Greyhound. Because out here, I don't even know where the Greyhound station is out here in Orange County. If I'm thinking about it, I don't even know.
Our Greyhound station in Oklahoma City's fucking crazy, dude. I saw a homeless dude get stabbed over some fucking Boone's Farm, dude. It's like
I don't even know what Boone's Farm is.
It's like the cheapest, shittiest wine ever. If you see someone drinking that, they're like a real life alcoholic. They suck, dude.
Boone's, okay, Boone's Farm. All right, thank you for that info. I want to ask you guys about the EP, Instant Gratification. That was done in 2023. Obviously, did you guys feel like you leveled up musically? When you guys were able to write and record that EP.
I would say so. That stuff was written literally when we first started back in 2020. So I would say the shit that we're working on now is a much better reflection of where we're at currently. And just what, like, I don't know, man, we just like the way that we write is we're just like, oh, we want to see people going side to side. So like, let's write the best side to side part we possibly can. What can we have Brad doing here? And with Instant, it felt really just thrown together to get music out there so that we could really just keep playing shows, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, half of the shit that we play now is just off of the new record and stuff. And we're really excited to get that one out.
Honestly. Oh yeah. We released our little, Tim Tracks EP. That's our promo. Mm-hmm. Really for what we're working on now. Are you bringing Tim?
Yeah,
dude. Oh, he's bringing Tim himself. This is Tim.
Oh, from the cover.
Yeah, dude, yeah. This is the guy. This is the motherfucking guy.
He's the dude on the cover.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's my kitty. He's a chill ass dude. You can see he's a chill dude.
He doesn't actually smoke cigarettes.
I was going to ask, where's the cigarette?
Dude. No, he smokes Newports. He's dope.
But anyways, yeah, we made your tattoo artist did the cover art.
Yeah, my homie, I do jujitsu with him, and he did my chest tattoos.
I was like, yo, can you draw my homie's cat smoking a cigarette? And he was like, yeah, bro. And he sent us that. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, dude. We got to use this for like some album art or some merch. And we use it for both. And
we're just going to use it for our promos. And
yeah, no, actually, yeah. Well, yeah.
Similar shit on the next ones or whatever. But yeah, that Tim Tracks is those songs will be on our next record release. We're working on it now, or we haven't gotten in the studio yet, but we're pretty damn close.
Okay.
Next month.
All right. Before we talk more about Tim Tracks, I was just curious about Circle Lotus Media. You guys were on there, and I was just curious about like what that is and how you guys ended up on there.
So they're locally based. They're in Norman, and they just hit us up, asked us, said, you want to come and do this? And we were like, you know what, man, that sounds really fucking cool. We'll go ahead and do it. We had seen a couple of, or I know some people that know them. So it was just kind of like a mutual thing. And then we went and met them. They were really fucking dope, man. And they were super hospitable to us, gave us some water, let us chill and stuff, and then said, hey, man, do the fucking thing. And so we went and did that. I had a good time doing it, man. They're really, really, really fucking cool people. And, dude, they gave me a free cup. It was so sick. It was so fucking dope.
I got that cup. Yeah, we just, dude, let's go film that shit. Just throw some shit on YouTube just so people could see us play. You know, it's like, yeah, it's in like a little room or whatever. And
it was dope.
Yeah, we were just like, let's get a video out there of us just like, you know, doing our thing. And so we did.
I hope they do more hardcore bands and stuff like Agony or like Free For All or something like that, or Caustic. That's how we got in contact with them. It was fun. Yeah, no, they're awesome people, man. They were so fun to work with.
Yeah, I really enjoy when bands are able to do that, because there's a bunch of radio stations out here that will have hardcore bands pop in and play a live set, which is cool, because obviously it's listening to the records are awesome, but it's also cool to be able to hear like a live set on the radio, because obviously being at a show is way different, because like the energy is flowing, maybe you're mosh or maybe you're doing something else, but to be able to chill and listen to a live set, I think that's pretty awesome.
It's, dude, all the Audio Tree sessions that have been popping out, man, my favorite one has been Candy. Okay. Candy has, oh dude, man, we got the opportunity to see me and Preston got the opportunity to go and see them and Angel Dust and Restraining Order. And dude, I think, oh, Angel Dust just released one too, right? They did an Audio Tree session, I think.
That was KEXP, but yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dude. I mean, I think it's really cool that we're all getting put into, or like, it's starting to get pushed towards the forefront, but I don't know, man, still keep it in the streets, you know? I mean, that's where it belongs. But it's really cool getting to see bands like Angel Dust where they, I mean, dude, they've been around longer than, since I was in like fucking fifth grade, so like, yeah, it's so fucking cool, man, just getting pushed into that. Oh man, it's
that's crazy. Wait, how old are you? Fifth grade. Now I'm tripping out. Now I feel old.
I'm 21.
Okay, 21. Are you guys all like around similar age?
22. You're 19. You're 18. Fuck
yeah. Preston over here, he's 18 still.
3 days.
Yeah, he's got just a couple more days, but the rest of them are 21, and then I'm 22.
Interesting. All right. Well, yeah, you guys are definitely the new wave. I'm way older than you guys, but this is awesome. Tim Tracks. So you guys put out those two new songs. Is there a timeline for the actual album? Is it going to be a full length or another EP?
I think it's going to be 8 or 9 songs.
Okay.
Total. As soon as we get in the studio, that's when it starts, and we'll figure it out then. But until then, nah, we don't really got a timeline. We're gonna go in and we're gonna start recording next month.
Okay. Awesome. So, but definitely this year.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Hopefully before flyover is the goal.
Okay. And is there, are those dates announced?
Oh, flyover is November 16th and 17th. It's either that or 18th and 19th. I don't know. It's in middle November before Thanksgiving.
It's only 2 days this
year? It's only 2 days this year. Thank fucking God, dude. 3 day fest? Suck. No, lineup's pretty damn long. The lineup has not been announced yet. Dude, I'm hoping I can pop out to fucking Sound and Fury this year. We got an Oklahoma band that's playing that this year. Chat Pile.
Oh, they're from your area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, I fucking hope that they get Peeling Flesh out there next year, because y'all are gonna lose your minds when dude, it's gonna be the coolest shit, man. It's ADHD music, dude. It's the best shit ever. Fucking like stupid ass DJ Screw sample. Bro, my favorite one is the I'm really about to get you in your pickle chin out, boy. Dude, that shit is so fucking funny, dude.
I gotta check them out after we get off here, because
check them out. Dude, I got you with a list of songs.
Okay, please send it over.
Candy coated corpse, face fucked with a shovel, G check, bathtub execution.
12 gauge autopsy too.
That's that's the motherfucking song, bro. That's the one. That's the one. Dude, I can't tell you how many times like we've just been like chilling outside of venues and just fucking sprinted in and just started beating the shit out of the first person we see to that song. It's the best, man.
That's awesome. A couple more things about the band. Notice you guys have a SoundCloud, which is pretty interesting, because I feel like...
Do we?
We have a SoundCloud?
Yeah, it's in your link tree.
Really?
Oh, good job, Ben. Good job.
Yeah,
I mean, that's on Ben, I guess.
Okay.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, because I think that's interesting, because I was able to, you know, experience the whole SoundCloud era of rap. So when they see people, especially bands, I always think it's really interesting, because I don't think I have ever gone to SoundCloud, you know, for bands. It's always been for you know rappers. So when I saw that you guys had one, I'm like, oh, this is pretty interesting.
Yeah, dude, like
Ben.
Thank you. I try. I think it's important. We try and get our music out on all. Ironically enough, we have it on all streaming platforms except for Bandcamp. So I need to get on that ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
He about beat my ass one time, dude. He was so mad at me because I was like, dude, I'm just gonna fucking release it. And he was like, if it isn't on everything, dude, I'm gonna cut your throat. And I was like,
yeah, dude, I'm very. With this record release too, I've been way less hands. I manage like all of our scheduling and shit, but I've been way more hands off with pressing for a specific release date with this record. But that's always been my thing. Is I'm like, give the people a release date and make it to where on that release date, doesn't matter if they have Spotify, Apple, Tidal. I don't care if you have what's an obscure one? Like what's the I forgot the other radio one that's out. There's like just a million different streaming platforms. I'm like, man, I think everybody should have an opportunity to listen to the music. You shouldn't have to be able to afford a monthly thing to be able to listen to music. Like a lot of our fans listen to the music on YouTube. Hey, there's the boy. There's Sonny.
There he is.
That's
Sonny right here. This is John's dog.
What's up, Sonny?
But that was my logic behind it. I wanted people to be able to listen to the music on SoundCloud too, if they couldn't afford stuff or YouTube. It's heavy on everything.
Okay, and then I noticed that there's a TikTok, but there's no content there. Are you guys waiting, or what's the vibe with that?
Is all of the content down on the TikTok? That's new information to me. If we got TikTok,
yeah, we have shit on our TikTok.
Yeah, I don't even know about that bullshit.
Oh, wait. Okay,
I'm not on TikTok much, but yeah, I've seen that shit.
My browser just didn't load it properly. I just hit refresh and it was there.
No. Oh,
shit. My bad.
Dude, Ben was about to have a fucking aneurysm, bro. Shit, dude. We're going to have to hear about this later. Oh, no.
Yeah. I love TikTok. I think it's a very fun platform. Obviously, you know, it's stealing your data, whatever. But when it comes to the algorithm, yeah, for sure, 100%. But I feel like when I'm on TikTok, that's where like I have the most fun because they're able to curate like what I want to see. And sometimes they'll throw like a curveball and, you know, see if I want to go down like a dark path, which sometimes I do if it's late at night. But I think it's fun.
I had to hop off TikTok. I was too drawn in, bro.
Okay.
I was like, I'd spend morning or afternoons after work. I'd get home and be like, damn, I've been sitting here scrolling TikTok for an hour. I need to get on.
Dude, that shit, it is pretty fucking insane how wrapped up you can get into that thing, man.
Yeah. Real shit. That's why we're on it, though. That's why we're on it.
That what's so sick, too, is there's been a recent boom of hardcore on TikTok. Like, more... And some people are gonna wince when they hear that. Some people wince when they hear that, but it's like bands like Kublai Khan and some other good shit. Like Weapon, I've seen a little bit more people figuring out about Weapon X through TikTok.
Straight Edge.
Peeling too. I've seen a lot of people reposting shit from Peeling and like just all the dope bands from each scene. And they've been all getting some love on TikTok recently. So I think it's kind of cool that our subculture is getting highlighted to a wider audience.
100%. Like I'll post clips from the podcast on TikTok. I don't do any hashtags. I don't promote it in any way. I just post it, and there's always people liking it, which I think is interesting because I'm like I'm curious how you found this. So it's cool to be able to, you know, put my content out there and get the support from, you know, a bunch of people on TikTok that I don't even know. So I think it's cool. Like when I know people get upset about, you know, TikTok or whatever, but it's like, hey, like that's just, you know, how it is today. Cause if it wasn't for the internet back when I was getting into hardcore, you know, I probably wouldn't even be here because like, you know, back when I got into hardcore, MySpace and Pure Volume, those were the websites we were going to figure out, you know, new bands, you know, when the shows were happening. That's how we all stayed connected. So I can understand why people could get upset, but it's like, I don't think it's like that bad of a thing.
Who was your first show?
My first show, I saw Terror in 2002. Oh,
damn!
Crazy, crazy first show.
That's so sick. Who opened for him? Do you remember?
No, I have no idea. This was like so long ago. This was back like when I went to those shows. I didn't really know like most of the lineups. It was just like, you know, local bands that I wasn't familiar with. I was just going for like the like bigger bands at the time. Then I just like was like slowly working my way back and trying to figure out like, you know, who are these bands touring through. Because I wanted to like, you know, like secure like my knowledge and like the local stuff going on, and then I was just kind of like figuring it out as I went along.
What are some fucking California bands that we should be on the lookout for right now?
There's a band that they just played their first show like the other day. This band called Load the Nine. I think they're
Load the Nine. Bet I'm gonna write them down. They got any shit out right now?
Yeah. They're on Spotify. And
fuck yeah, dude.
There's a band called Big Ass Truck.
Big Ass Fuck yeah.
That's yeah.
Awesome. That's a sick name.
Yeah. They're popping. And there's a really popular band out here called Smoked 909. Yeah. They're catching waves. Those are like, I feel like some bands that are on the come up that might not be you know, on people's radar. Cause obviously there's like a ton of popular bands. Like my friend's playing a band called No Way Out. They're on Triple B Records. No Right, they just put out a new promo. They're on Triple B Records now. Who else? My friend's playing a local band out here called Whirlwind. They just put out a record on Indecision Records. But check out those three bands that I named because I think they're pretty fucking sick.
I got them looked up.
I think
that's fucking sick.
Is it Into Nothing? Into Nothing or Into the Nothing? I think they're a recent hardcore band that's becoming out of Cali, dude. Unless I'm tripping.
See, that's not even on my radar. Let me look them up. Into Nothing?
I mean, I might be saying it wrong. They make like a mix between hardcore and thrash. I think they're from California.
Ben, bro. What's Septic, bro?
Oh, Septic's good
as fuck,
dude.
Okay. Dude, we played with them. We went on tour with Caustic, and we got to play with this band called Septic, man. And, dude, it was the coolest shit, man. It was thrash. It was so fucking fun, man. It was the coolest shit. Shout out to them. They were really good.
And do you guys have like any tours planned like for later this year or any big runs like that?
We got one that we're looking into. Ben, it's June or July, right?
It'll be late June. We're gonna try. You know a lot of the areas a little bit better, but it's gonna be late June. I know we said
both the Springfields.
Yeah, both Springfield, Illinois, Springfield, Missouri. Mm-hmm. We want to try and hit up Denver soon. Where else did we say, John?
We were gonna try and do Minneapolis and then Omaha, Des Moines, because we got the homies from Dose in Des Moines. One of them is actually from Oklahoma, man. It was pretty cool. I didn't know that. But then, like, all of our OGs, like Ty and all them, were like, yeah, bro, he's from here. I was like, what the fuck? That's so cool. And then Wichita, man. Wichita's got a sleeper scene right now, man. I really appreciate what CJ. I don't know all the people that are affiliated with it, but Secret World Booking, man.
Noah,
Wichita. Shout out Noah. Yeah, Noah, dude. All the homies in Secret World, man, they're doing some really good work. They got their first little their first real cool show, man. It was Livid, and then our little homies in Fungus were playing that show, man. And I'm very proud of those guys with how much, dude, they just love hardcore, man. They'll mosh for anybody. They like if your band wants to go and play anywhere, I promise you, if you go out to Wichita, it'll be like maybe like 20 or 30 kids, but they're going to all be moshing and they're going to fucking destroy shit, dude. It's so sick.
That's awesome. I feel like that's all bands need, right? Because they're always scared of, you know, low turnout. But yeah, if you get a group of 20, 30 kids all going off, that'll make a difference. That's crazy.
And they all buy merch, man. Wichita, Kansas, they fucking ride. If they can get anybody, they will, because all those kids travel to us. They all like we have Snuffed on Site coming on Sunday. We got two fucking banger ass shows coming on Sunday, actually, man. Snuffed on Site's coming through OKC, and then we're going up and we're playing with a band called Sign Language from Cincinnati. That shit's gonna be sick. We're going up to Tulsa to play with them, but like I know all the fucking Wichita kids are gonna roll down. Probably some of the Springfield homies too. It's really fucking awesome how interlocked those three scenes are here, man. Because it's like we all know how it is. We didn't get shit for the longest time, and now that we're finally starting to get something, we all got to ride for each other. You know, it's so sick how interconnected everything is, and just the love. Like, I mean, I got a homie up in Kansas City that I never thought I'd have a fucking friend in Kansas City, man. I was like, what the fuck? And we fucking shared an Airbnb at when we went to go and see, or when we went for Flyover. It's like hardcore is a beautiful fucking thing, man. It's the best. It's so sick.
100%. You know, I like honestly like 98% of the travel that I do is just for hardcore. Like, I just was in Louisville for the first time for LDB. You know, got to stay with some friends. And then back in December, I went to Columbia for a hardcore fest, which, you know, I'd never left the country before. So to go to Columbia, wait, that shit was...
Hold Your Ground?
No. This was a 100% Bogota hardcore festival.
Dude, how was fucking Robbergate, dude?
Oh, insane. Dude, Robbergate in their hometown, insane.
Dude, oh my gosh. Yo, did you catch at LDB, did you catch Surface? They played very first on day one.
Yes, yeah, 100%.
Oh, dude, man, I grew up with her. Her name's Grace, and she lives out there. And like, dude, I want to play with the Surface dudes. They just got off tour with Out for Blood, man. Those dudes fucking rip, man. I know it's like, we definitely would not fit that bill. We sound so fucking weird, but but dude, I want to play with those dudes so bad, man. They fucking rule.
Yeah, I saw one of the guys at the pre-show. He was wearing an Out for Blood shirt, and I was like, yo, it was a sick shirt. I was like, shout out Kyle, and he like looked at me because I don't know who the fuck that guy is, and he's like, we just played some shows with them, and at the time I didn't know he was playing in Surface. I'm like, oh, like when I saw him the next day, I was like, oh, that's pretty sick,
dude. The Out for Blood guys are so fucking dope, man. That, oh man, they're so cool. That, oh, I love when they come through, man. And I don't know if you did they talk about like identity crisis at all, the youngsters?
I don't think so.
Dude, some youth crew shit, man. Like these kids were all like 15 and 16. They came through Oklahoma the same time that that Free For All was having that release show here. And holy fuck, bro. Shout out Elliot. Shout out fucking Silas, Preston, and Anna, bro. That band was so fucking sick, man. I would love for them to come back. And dude, Ohio's got some shit going on right now, too. That Rejoice band. Mwah! Chef's fucking kiss, dude. That new record was so tight, bro. You remember we saw them?
Rejoice?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, that shit was so sick, yo.
That's one of my favorite sets of Flyover.
Dude, all the Ohio bands fucking ripped, yo.
Okay. That shit was so sick. I got to tap in. See, when I think of Ohio, I just think of my friends in Live It Down and Frenzy. So,
oh, shit, dude. Free For All song. Frenzy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, wait, so Live It For All and Frenzy?
Live It Down.
Live It Down?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Another dope band from Ohio was Sour, bro. They're fucking sick.
Sour was fucking really tight. Yeah.
Okay, Sour.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Live It Down has some really cool art.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, they're super sick. It's just like integrity worship. It's fucking amazing.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, and Frenzy just put out new music today. Like, literally today.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, Frantic or Frenzy?
Frenzy.
Frenzy?
Yeah, it's like a blue like cover. Yeah, it's on Spotify.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm gonna find them.
Okay. Yeah, because I know it's not on Bandcamp because I checked this morning, but it's definitely on Spotify.
Dude, it's so sick. Just learning about new hardcore every day.
Yeah.
It's
no. So cool. I think it's sick that like you know you guys have spent a lot of the time on here just talking about other bands because it's yeah. Cool that
we're
you guys
fucking nerds.
No, it's
we're
sick.
Nerds straight up.
Yeah, I love it because that's how I've always been, right? It's like since I've got into hardcore, like it's never gone dull, and I've always wanted to just kind of continue to figure out what's out there. So for me to be able to talk to you guys who are way younger than me and just to hear the passion that you guys have and how excited you guys are, not only for like what you guys are doing in your scene, but just like the surrounding scenes, I think that's fucking sick.
What's your favorite mosh move?
It had to be a spin kick, man, if I'm being honest.
Spin kicks, yeah. Bro. They're always just the best, man.
Not to toot my own horn, I got a fucking nice-ass spin kick. I got a fucking nice-ass spin kick.
Yeah.
So I'll be hitting three in a row.
Dude, no, I'm more of a stage dive guy because I'm fucking little, dude.
Okay.
I can't do no damage, bro. I've been folded by the homie Colton and Skyler so many times. Colton's the lead singer of Sledge. That dude has folded me so many fucking times. And then Skyler, he's the lead singer of Cell. Dude. At the very beginning, it was like, you get tougher, you get the fuck out. Like, immediately. Dude, all the backroom dudes just beat our ass, yo. And now it's like the other way around. We finally get to dish the licks back. It's so tight.
Ain't nobody ever hit me harder than Aiden.
Yo, our homie Aiden, bro. Oh, dude, no. And then, God rest our homie Soul Man. He died 2 days ago. His name's Hayden Tiger. He played in a band called Defiled and Peace Pie. His favorite drinks were Twisted Teas. That's why we're sipping on them tonight. And yeah, that's that. That was our brother, man. He housed us while we were on tour on 3 hours' notice. And we love him and we miss him and everything that we do will be for him. And everything that anybody does in Oklahoma will be for him 100% because no one laughed like that dude. No one fished like that dude. No one could slam a fucking drink like that dude. Cause he was, and no one could mosh like that motherfucker, bro.
Yeah, he was a mosh.
I've seen him take some fucking blows, man. And always stuck up for his friends. There was not a fake bone in that motherfucker's body. He was the realest there could be. Hayden Tiger, man, RIP, motherfucker.
Sir.
And fantastic drummer, too. One of the best drummers in the scene, dude. All
right. Well, sorry for your loss, but I'm happy to hear so many positive things coming from you guys. I think that's awesome.
Dude. Shout out to fucking Defiled, bro.
Defiled, yeah. They actually just put out a promo recently, man. And that shit, it's the shit.
Our boy Aiden, man, he gets
He gets hyped, dude. Oh,
dude, he sounds like fucking like six dogs barking at once, bro. He's a fucking beast.
And
dude,
he hits like a fucking truck. That dude has knocked me or nearly knocked me out on multiple occasions.
He's a fucking offensive lineman, dude. He's destroyed me.
Yeah. That dude's a force of nature.
So I, you know, watch the videos of your guys' live sets and, you know, see the reactions that you guys get. I think it's really awesome that you guys are able to, you know, be a part of this new wave in your area to, you know, help, you know, keep the scene alive, but also hopefully inspire the younger kids or maybe even your peers to want to keep going and to, you know, keep putting energy into your guys' local scene. What does it mean to you guys to kind of get that reaction, right? Because if you think back to those early days where you guys were, you know, having to, you know, carve your own path and, you know, play these shows in the streets, but now you're playing these awesome shows, like, what is that like for you guys?
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. I think the coolest example of just, like, so me and my buddies, we booked a show, and Otis also played on it, and it was in the middle of fuck nowhere. Luther. It was in Luther, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. No one on this fucking thing is going to ever
shitty,
know.
Shitty little
it was in a shitty abandoned fucking barbecue shack. And the amount of kids that pulled up that had never been to a hardcore show before, and by the end of the night were fucking throwing spin kicks and then saying, man, how do I do this? That's what keeps it going. Hearing the young kids saying, man, how do I do that? And I just grab fucking Mateo or Christian, I go, talk to that guy, man. He's a drummer.
No, dude.
Find your drummers and just keep it fucking going, man.
Anyone who comes and asks, I had some kids from Guthrie, Oklahoma come talk to me after our promo release show, after we released Tim Tracks. We played this show at the Sanctuary, and these kids came up, and man, they were just telling me about their band. They were like, yeah, I think we're going to play a show out in Enid. We don't want to make an ass of ourselves out here. I'm like, man, no one gives a fuck, dude. We made an ass out of ourselves for fucking months. and we still fucking do. And you know what? It doesn't fucking matter, man. I mean, you go out and you do what you want to do. People, you play a shitty set, man. Who gives a fuck? People will respect you for being up on that stage and just fucking doing it, man. You just attack that shit and... that's what I tell any kids who come up to me, man. I mean, there's the only thing that holds you back is yourself. And it's really cool to play those fun shows and have kids come up and ask and be able to tell them. I mean, just encourage them, be able to encourage the younger kids out there who have dreams and shit. And man, it's such a special feeling to just be able to talk to kids who are actually like, I mean, dude, we've been playing for 2 years. We ain't shit. And some of these kids, like, I mean, sometimes they like look up to you and they're like, oh shit, dude, that shit was cool. I wish I could do that. Motherfucker, you can, bro. You just got to get out there and do it.
Just do it, man.
That's what we do. We just try and tell them just to keep on pushing, man. Have fun with it. That's the most important thing of all, is just having fun.
I've been preaching love to all these bands, but God damn it, I'm fucking sick of seeing them. I want to see some new bands, dude. I'm so fucking sick of seeing the same bands on every bill. I want to see some fucking kids roll up and be like, you know what, man? This is us. Throw their dicks on the table, Deist, and get after it. Shout out
Deist, bro. Deist is a new band that's finally getting after it. I fucking love to see it, bro.
That's a sick band. They released their demo last year. Now they're finally playing shows. The singer... had a band called Blurt. It was a power violence band back in the day, and that shit was tight. But dude, yeah, no, just when those kids walk up, man, I think the best way is just say, hey, here is a person that I know plays this instrument. Go, you know, because they'll figure it out eventually. It's just they got to keep coming around, and they got to see, they got to have a reason to keep coming around. And if we can continue to provide that reason, then hell yeah, we're going to keep doing it no matter what. As long as this shit's fun, we're going to keep doing it. The minute it's not fun, goodbye. But Oklahoma hardcore, I couldn't see how it wouldn't be fun, man. It's the coolest shit in the fucking world.
Hell yeah.
Oklahoma is the coolest place.
That's why I love hardcore too, is this, there's no bar for entry. I always try and tell kids when they ask me, I'm like, bro, just fucking start. You don't have to
be super proficient and have crazy licks and scales and understand music theory, dude. Just play what the fuck feels good with people that you enjoy being around, and it'll just naturally work itself out. It's about just going and playing and having fun with your homies, dude. There's no rule.
Play a power chord and they're good. Real shit. Real shit.
Just they're play good, a power chord and punch some people, bro. Just punch your homies with power chords and breakdown. That's all the shit is.
Power chord's about all I know how to play, and here we are.
Damn straight, yo.
All right. Well, this has been awesome. I'm really happy that you guys were down to take the time to do this. I'm definitely more of a fan of you guys now after finally getting to actually talk to you and get to know you guys better. But before we sign off, is there anything else you guys would like to say?
Right, look, I'd just like to say thank you for letting us on. Like, you've been in this scene since, 2002. Like, that's longer than we've been alive. So, I mean, I just appreciate you saying something for this. Just letting us have the space to talk, man. That's someone like who does media. Like, I just appreciate giving us this space. Like, thank you, bro.
My pleasure.
Yeah, man. We all just want to give you our thanks for letting us do this. I have fun. Y'all speak for yourself, but I love doing interviews and just talking about what I do, man. Because I mean, we have fun. We love doing it, and we love having fun. And
hardcore.
No, bro, but really, thanks for having us on. We really appreciate that shit. We've had a good time.
We gotta show love right quick to anyone who's not from Oklahoma who wants to get to tapped into the Oklahoma scene. Check out Caustic, check out Free For All, check out Sledge, check out Agony, check out Peeling Flesh. John, who am I missing?
Cell,
check out Cell.
Defiled,
The Tooth,
yep.
The Tooth, RIP, man, The Tooth, that sucks. Discern, Fungus will probably have some shit out soon, Young Power Violence Gods, Vantar Tax,
oh, yeah.
Sunfo, King Pink, and then all the Houston homies, of course, we shouted them out earlier, we don't need to get back into that.
Yeah,
Bastion, we forgot Bastion.
Oh, Bastion, yeah, for sure.
They aren't together anymore.
RIP Field Dress.
Oh, yeah. Keep listening to Field Dress, man. Yeah. RIP.
RIP, but they're the shit, man. Keep running that shit.
Oh, Tar Creek. Yeah, tell the lies. Only thing.
Tell Lies.
Yeah, Tell Lies. The last thing I got to say, man, is if you aren't having fun, why are you doing it? Just keep having fun.
All right.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I appreciate your guys' time. Like I said earlier, I'm a fan. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back soon. Goodbye.
Thank you, Jamie.
And thank you so much.
Rest in peace, Hayden Tiger, man.
Rest in peace.
Thank you.